Today we're going to continue and jump right into our series we started a few weeks ago. We've simply called it a vision. Now, we've used the word vision because vision, we're talking about our vision statement, or it can be called a mission statement or purpose statement. Different churches use different things, and but they're pretty much all running together. So we're just calling it vision, the vision of our church. What is the practical vision of our church? I shared a few weeks ago the present directional vision of our church, the things we want to accomplish this year. But in this series, we're talking about just an overall vision. What is it that we want to see happen in the life of every believer that is coming here, the life of every person that's coming through the doors of Destiny Church? And we begin to talk about that. And we've made it simple. We believe it should be simple. And we just simply said, all right, what is the vision? And much prayer and much just asking God, what is it you want us to focus on? We believe here at Destiny Church that Destiny Church exists to teach people to be passionately in love with God, to passionately love God. How many know that's the prayer of our heart? Because we know this, if we would be passionately in love with God, that the other things will fall in the line. Do you realize that? Isn't that true? If we will be passionately lovers of God, if we will passionately love God and fall in love with Him, we'll want to please Him. We'll want to do what His Word says. We'll want to do the other things that need to be done. But that comes through a passion. It comes through a passion that you've got to continue to have. Well, Pastor, if I could just take this Sunday morning service with me everywhere. It's really easy to be passionate here, isn't it? Well, you know what? You can take it with you. It's called the Holy Spirit. He says, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. And there's an anointing that God wants you to carry in your life that creates a passion there to know Him in a greater way. We've been talking about this passion. We also want to genuinely love people. They have a genuine love for people. We know that God has called us to genuinely love people and to teach others to do the same. Very simple. To teach others to do the same. And we know this comes straight out of Scripture. In Matthew 27, it says this. Jesus was asked, 22 verses 37 and 38. Jesus said, what's the most important thing to ask Him? What's the most important things we can do of all the commandments in the Bible? What's the most important thing for us to remember? And Jesus said it like this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so we've taken the great commands the Lord has given us. He said, listen, I'm summing up everything right here. If you get this in order, the rest will fall in line. So we are trying to get our life into order, getting perspective that we are called to be passionate lovers of God. You can't love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, unless you are passionate about Him. It's impossible. It's impossible to love Him in those three areas of your life if you're not passionately in love with Him. And so I pray that you are allowing God to renew, to kindle in your heart a passion to love Him, a passion to spend time with Him, a passion to praise Him, a passion to talk to Him, a passion to learn about His Word, a passion to say, God, I want you to rekindle something in my life. So today we're going to talk about this thought of you've lost that loving feeling. You never close your eyes. Some of you are already singing it right now in your mind. You got that going. We got any of that generation here that remembers that song? Okay, I just want to make sure you guys are here. Usually you guys have to endure my 80s, and so we'll come back to your generation and say, you've lost that loving feeling. How many know that today we need to restore our passion in our life? How many can remember the first time you were saved? How many remember that passion that you had, that you wanted to tell somebody what God had done in your life? You want to tell somebody what God was doing in your life. And so today, what I want to talk to you about, we got to get back that loving feeling. You got to get back that passion. Allow God to restore that passion in your life. I mean, it was a natural thing, but you know what the problem with most new Christians? Is they hang around too many old Christians. Woo, he didn't say that, did he? I sure did. For those of you listening on the internet today, I just said that. Now you can see the faces here. They're like, wow. The problem with too many new Christians is we hang around too many old Christians who have lost their passion. And so we've got to make sure as Christians that we are renewing our passion, that we got to keep our passion real. Because when there's passion there, it just illuminates what God's wanting to do. It illuminates our life. People say, what is the passion in your life? Why is your passion different? What is different about you? And I see passion levels different in people. I can look around today, and this is my conversations with many of you. I can see different levels of passion for God, for God's Word, for worship, and for different things that God's doing in your life. It's a passion. We got to pray that God would increase this passion level in our life. Passion creates greatness. Passion is something that accomplishes many things. You can't accomplish anything great without passion. I mean, passion and commitment go hand in hand. Do you realize that? You can't have commitment without passion. And when you have passion, you're going to have commitment because it's something that drives you with a passion to accomplish the task at hand. There's something about passion that says, God, I want to know you more. And in my life, it's very easy because I lived my life at a time in my life when I didn't have a passion for God. I lived my life at a time when I was passionless about God. I was a lack of passion. And I can tell you, it's one of the most empty times of my life. But when I begin to say, God, I remember the day and I remember the night I stood up by myself. I was sitting right over there, Mike Scott, about where you were. And I remember standing up and just crying my eyes out. I was the only one standing up in worship. And these people are looking around and be like, what's this guy doing? He's crazy. But you know what? I didn't care because God had done something on the inside of me. I was the only one standing. I remember just raising my hands like this. And there was just tears flowing down. I can remember the song that was playing. And God, there was something. I said, God, I just want to passionately love you. God, I just want to passionately give you everything. I'm tired of living the sly. I'm tired of living my life calloused. I'm tired of living my life without any passion, without any purpose. God, I want to passionately love you. And I will never, ever allow anything to take away the passion of my life. God, I want you to increase it in my life. I remember that night, my life has never been the same. My passion for him. When I heard worship, my life changed. I was like, all right, it had a new meaning. When I read God's word, it had a new meaning. When I went to church, I wanted to take notes. I mean, things were changing in my life because I wanted to know who God was. There was a passion increase in my life. And today, I believe God is wanting to increase the passion for him. Jesus said, my purpose is to come and give you life and for you to have it to the fullness. I mean, God has never designed for us to live a life without passion. He wants you to have a life full. Man, I tell you what, if you say, well, Pastor, I've been in church a long time and it's just boring, I say, well, that's not God's fault. That's either our fault or your fault, one. That's why we said at Destiny Church, we don't want to have a boring church, you know? We don't want to have a boring church because we want to have a place where it's full of life and passion, and we can laugh, and we can do life together, and we can cry together, and we can pray together, we can celebrate together, because passion should be a part of who we are and what we do. You should have some passion, and God has come to give us passion. But many times our life resembles the balloons that you have at a birthday party. I mean, know what I'm talking about. You have a birthday party somewhere. Maybe you have a two-story house and you have a vaulted ceiling and you have a birthday party, and sure enough, what happens? One of those balloons always makes it to the top, doesn't it? And that doesn't just bug you. I mean, I tell you what, that just bugs me when that balloon goes to the top of that ceiling because you can't reach it. You don't have a ladder enough big enough to reach it, and you can't try to throw darts at it and put holes in the ceiling and your wife gets mad. And so you can't do that. But I notice one thing. If I'll just give it a little time, if I'll just give it just a day or two, depending on the quality of the balloon, sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter. But if I just give it a little time, I'll wake up and come downstairs in the morning, and I'll find that balloon has made its way to the bottom because it started off, but just loses its helium, doesn't it? It loses its effect. Many times, that's the way we are in life. We graduate high school, and we get to know God, or something happens. We have this fullness of life. We're going to take the world, you know, by the tail, man. We're going to conquer it. We have this passion. Or we get into ministry, or we're getting these things to happen, and we're gonna win the world for Jesus. We have this passion driving us. But somewhere along the line, we went through a bad relationship, or we had a hurtful thing happen to us. We had a disappointment in the church, or something happened along the way that just took out the fizz, man. It's like drinking a pop without any fizz, man. This doesn't go anywhere, does it? It's like, man, that's just flat. Our life becomes flat without passion. A life becomes a place where there's no excitement, there's no passion for life, and you just kind of find yourself living life from day to day and really just no passion at all. You kind of go through the motions without any passion. And today I believe this, that's a sad way to live because God has never intended you to live your life without passion. God has always intended for you to have a life full of passion, a life full of joy, a life full of something to give. So how do we do this? How do we live a life of passion? And we're kind of going to take the opposite approach here because I believe the reason why we don't have passion is we've had passion before, but we've allowed things to come in and to steal our passion. So I want to talk to you about some of these things that steal our passion, some of the things that will drain us as Christians. They'll come in and steal our passion for life and a passion for God. Let's talk about spiritual passion killers. Number one, an unexamined life, a unexamined life. Socrates said this. He said, an unexamined life is not worth living. An unexamined life is not worth living. But before Socrates ever said this, the Bible was very clear about it. In Lamentations 3:40, it says it like this: let us look closely at our ways and examine them, and then return to the Lord. It's a good practice in your life to pull aside and stop long enough to examine where you're at in your life. All of us have to take time to set aside. You know, if you ever watch a NASCAR race, and NASCAR, we have any NASCAR fans in here? Anybody like NASCAR? Okay. One of the fastest growing sports. I don't understand it too much, but you know, I understand. You guys are crazy. You're either crazy about it or you don't care about it. Either way, you know, NASCAR, if you're watching those races, man, those guys are going 200 miles an hour plus, man, around the track. And a couple times during the race, what do they have to do? They have to stop, pull over for a pit stop, man. They got to go in and retread their tires and regas up, man, and get the tune up, get the things they need going on right there to help them sustain the longevity of this long race. You know, but every one of us in our life, how many times do we ever take time to take a pit stop? God, I just need to take a little pit stop here. I need to stop and evaluate where am I at, how much tread's left in my tires, how much passion's left in my tank, how much energy do I have to serve the Lord. Do we ever do a spiritual pit stop in our life? Do we ever do spiritual checkups in our life? We've got to examine our life and just take a look and evaluate. Scripture is very clear about this. And if you don't do this, you're going to find yourself running so thin, running on fumes, running on the wires. I know what that's like. The other day I had a blowout, man. I thought my tire was just great. And looked on the other side of the tire, and it had some bad spots, and the wires had already begun to poke through, and I didn't know it on the other side. Now, on the outside, it looked good, but on the inside, because of a lack of rotating the tires properly, which we'll talk about that later, but anyway, I had some wear and tear on the inside, and I had some wires sticking out, and I remember I was trying to change that tire, and as I put my hand around there, the tires poked through and cut my hand up. I didn't realize on the backside that I had worn out the back of that tire. And today, that many of us are like that, that we are running around on just wires. Now, on the outside, it may look okay. On the very outside, it looks all right, but if we really could get to the core of who we are, we got some wires sticking through our tires. We got some rubber that's really getting thin, and we are running short on our thread. And you got to take time to look and to evaluate, to examine yourself. God will pinpoint to you areas in your life that need to be dealt with. We have undealt with sin, habits, things that are unpleasing to Him. But we never take time to stop and evaluate. God, what are you saying to my life? God, what do you want to say about my marriage? God, what are you saying about the way I parent my children? God, what are you saying about the way I do my work? God, what are you saying about the way I handle my money? God, what are you saying? We've got to take a time out. We've got to take a pit stop. And when you lack to do that, you're going to lose your passion. It'll drain from you because you'll run thin and you won't even know it. And next thing you know, you have a blowout. And you're losing your passion. You ain't going nowhere. You ever try to drive a car in a blowout? It don't go anywhere. I tried to put some Fix-A-Flat in it because I didn't know how bad it was, you know. I thought, well, I could just put some Fix-A-Flat in there, drive it down to Walmart, and they can clean it up. How many know what I'm talking about? They want to mess with it. So I took that can of Fix-A-Flat out of the bat. All of a sudden, I see the stream just going down back of my tire, you know. Just that Fix-A-Flat going down there. You know, we think we can just stick it in there. We're okay. No, we're not. We've had a major blowout. We ain't going nowhere until I take time to crank down that spare tire, take it off, get a buddy to come over and stop and see me pulling by. Right, Chris? Chris passed by and seen me. Pastor, you need some help? I'm like, well, yeah, sure, great. Come on out. So we helped out, and, you know, it took a while to get that big old tire off and get it on. I wasn't going anywhere until I took time to fix the problem. There was no Fix-A-Flat. There was no sticking some air in it and running down to Walmart and letting them deal with it. Because it was out of hand. It wasn't going anywhere. And so we got to examine our lives. Look what Scripture says about this. In 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God and judged in this way. Let me say it again. If we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God and judged in this way. What does that mean? That means we got to take a regular inventory of our life, because if we don't, then God's going to make you stop and do this. God will make you. And it's much easier. Let me tell you, it's much, much, much. Let me save you some life lessons. Maybe we talked about this last week, wisdom. It is much easier for me to stop and to do evaluation and say, all right, God, I need to change some things in my life. And me begin to change them than to have God get my attention. Because when God gets my attention, he's going to make sure he has my attention. And many times it's not a thing I want to go through. It becomes a painful thing. It becomes a thing that I have to go through either humiliation or disappointment to get my attention. So I want to stop having to be judged in that way. I need to learn to examine myself on my own. God, help me to examine myself. Where do I stand in your sight? God, how am I doing at replenishing myself? How am I doing at keeping myself? The scripture's full of us talking about this subject. 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, test yourselves to make sure you're on solid faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You've got to have it. We need to give ourselves a regular checkup. If you find yourself losing your passion, you've got to do a regular checkup on your life and say, God, where am I? Where am I measuring up? The second passion killer I want to talk about today is an undernourished soul. When your soul doesn't get the nourishment it needs, what happens? Deuteronomy 8:3 says, people need more than bread in their life. Real life comes by feeding on every word of God. What would you call a person who eats only once a week? Supermodel? Some of you said that. I didn't think of that right. No, let's don't go there. You would call a person who eats once a week what? Undernourished, wouldn't he? Starving. That person would be starving. That person would be undernourished. How many of us, the only meal we get spiritually is right here once a week? How many of us, this is the only meal we eat all week? We come to this spiritual buffet. We want to take it all in. And you leave here. Oh, worship wasn't long enough. Oh, church wasn't long enough. Because you're starving. We've got to learn to feed yourself daily. We've got to learn to feed ourselves. And, you know, you wouldn't go through the day without feeding yourself, would you? Of course, you've learned that if I feed myself, I have strength. If I feed myself, I feel better about myself. I have energy. I'm attained. If I don't feed myself, I have hunger pains. I'm starved. I have no energy. I have no passion for life. I mean, you'll lose everything you have for life if you don't take time to feed yourself. The same is spiritually goes true in our life. If you don't take time to feed yourself, this is why I spent the whole message last week talking about how to learn to love God's word, how to fall in love with God's word, because you got to learn that it takes to have the passion that God wants you to have in your life. We've got to feed ourselves on a daily basis. We've got to learn, say, God, I'm going to learn to love who you are and what your word has to say about me. It will change your life. We have the microphone. Where's the handheld microphone? Guys, will you help me out with that, please? Travis, go. Come here a second. I want you to share a testimony. I want you to hear this testimony. I tell you what, God's been doing something in Travis's life. He and I have been talking over the last couple of months, and God's just been doing just a great thing. It's just a spiritual awakening that's come to place in Travis's life. I want you to just kind of share how God's coming alive with the passion in your life.
Really, kind of what happened originally, I was back here and I worship passionately, and I have been for quite some time. And I realized that the passion that I showed in my worship, I wasn't really showing in other areas. And so, looking at the Bible, I prayed one night that I would begin to start reading more and more. And I made a commitment to God that I would try and read at least 15 minutes a day. And I found that time, and I started reading, and that 15 minutes turned into 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And every day, if I wasn't reading or I wasn't worshiping, listening to worship music, I was constantly thinking about what God had for me, what I could read. I was excited about what I was going to see next. And as that began to unfold, other things that I do in my life, going forward and then even looking back, I'm thinking about, you know, the decisions that I made, was that what God wanted for me? And I'm constantly thinking now, what does God want for me? That's the most important thing. And so I see everything with different eyes, I think. My whole world has changed just within the last month or so. And I've always read the Bible, and I've always told other people, you know, if you just read the Bible 15 minutes a day for a week, even if you're not looking for something to happen, it'll happen. The Word is alive. If you've heard of a living document, the Bible, I think, is the only true living document. And that's exactly what's happened to me, and my family can attest to that. I know I've talked to you. My life has just really turned upside down, and now I see situations that happen in our lives as an opportunity to show God my faith and what I can do and how I can see those things. And they're just not, they're not struggles anymore. They're not problems. They're just other things that I can overcome. And then he'll give me the other things. And that just goes in line with what Pastor Gene was saying before, you know, about how when we are trusted with the smaller things, we do those smaller things, God will give us more. And that's kind of what's happening to me. I mean, I think that my life is turning around, and I'm seeing it in my children. I'm seeing it in my wife. I'm seeing it in other friends and family. And I'm just really excited. It's a great thing. And I can't stop thinking about it. If you can be addicted at something, be addicted to reading the Bible.
Thanks, Travis.
You know, it's something that we see happen, and you hear me talk about it, but as I see Travis, he's emailing me, Pastor, you just want to believe what God's speaking to me today, or God just told me this, I got to get with you. How do you know when God's speaking? And all these things are coming. He's asked me so many questions, and just, is he, what's going on different? He's been coming to church here for over a year. What's been happening in his life? There's things that happen. There's a new passion that God is putting in his life. He's saying, it started with me just starting to read God's word every day. I wanted to have to go to read 10, 15 minutes a day. All of a sudden, God's word's coming alive in his life. And now, I tell you what, his heart, his family. Last week, we had a sign-up sheet for those who wanted to sign up to help. His family marked the whole boxes, every box on there. We'll help anywhere we need to. There's just something that happens when you begin to allow God to do something in your life. And there's a new passion. There's a renewal. And he's hitting it right on the head there. There's something that God wants to do in every one of us. There's a passion for him that you can experience, a level for him that you can live in. Your life does not have to be a life of mundane, of passionless. But God wants to give you a passion for him, for who he is, for his word. Look what Proverbs 3:22 says. God's principles will fill you with living energy. Isn't that great? God's principles will fill you with living energy. You want to have energy? You want to have passion in your life? Allow God's principles to come alive in yourself. But look what Romans 12:11 says about this. Don't burn out. Keep the passion. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled aflame. I like that version because it says keep yourself. So you realize your passion is up to you. That I can get up here and I can cheer for you and I can say, rah, rah, ree, kick him in the knee. You know, we can do all that stuff. But really, when it comes down to it, the passion is going to be because you allowed God to do something in your life. I am choosing, God, to love you. I am choosing to love my Creator. I am choosing to love the one who forgave me. I am choosing the only one who can restore my marriage. I'm choosing to love the only one who forgave me my sins. I'm choosing to love the only one who can change my life. I'm choosing to allow that passion to come out of me. I'm choosing to do that. It's up to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's up to you. Come on, you can be there. Say, it's up to you. It's up to you. You must keep yourselves. It says, keep yourselves fueled in flame. If you only keep yourself fueled up on Sundays, man, you're going to starve during the week. Let me say this again to you. If you only keep yourself fueled up from Sunday to Sunday, you're going to starve during the week. Because how many know real life happens on Monday through Saturday? Boy, it's easy to come here praising the Lord on Sunday, isn't it? All these people, we got a great praise team and band and everybody's worshiping. The lights are down. But man, Monday morning when you go to work and you got a boss waiting that look at you in the eye, that she just rubs you the wrong way. You get that email from a coworker and you got people rubbing you the wrong way and kids are screaming and hollering and teachers are sending you notes home about your kids. Not that ever happens to me. But things happen in life. And boy, it can take all the passion out of your life. It can suck all the energy right out of you. But you got to allow the passion of God every day in your life. God, I want to love you today. God, I want your word to be alive in my life every day. Every day. It's up to me to make sure I fuel myself up. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. It's up to you. The third thing is unapplied truth. I mean, this will kill your passion. Unapplied truth. Boy, this is a big one here. It's when you know to do the right thing and you keep putting it off. When you know to do the right thing and you keep putting it off, man, that will suck all the passion right out of you, man. It will just drain it. It's just out of there, man. Because when you know to do the right thing and you don't, the word of God says is what? Sin. And that sin will just continue to drain you. We've got to learn that we got to apply this in our life and know this today, that we have got to learn to apply the truths of God in our life. That's where the passion comes alive. I can see God's word on my coffee table every day. I can open it up to the picture part where it looks good and it's decorative in my home. I can take it out and wave it in the form of a cross over my doorway every morning. It doesn't do me any good until I allow that word to come alive in my heart. Until I allow that thing to come alive in my life and say, God, I want to hear your word. I want it to come alive. And then I want to apply what it says in my life. And when I begin to apply what it says in my life, then it re-energizes me. And then it builds my faith. And it increases my passion. I've got to practice it. I got to apply it. I got to act on it. I got to obey it. And when I don't, those things will drain you. 2 Peter 1:5 says like this, make every effort to apply the benefits of God's promises in your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence, which leads to knowing God better. So I have to make every effort. As a Christian, we're called to make every effort we can to apply the benefits of God's promises to your life. I mean, how many today, I think if your boss came in and said, you know what, all you got to do is just fill out this form here today, and we're going to give you a 25% raise. A 25%, not cents, 25% raise. How many of you are like, just give me the form? I'll apply for that. Just fill this form out today. It takes me about 5 minutes so I can fill this form out. Boom. I'll apply for that. I want all the benefits I can receive. If I send you a thing in the mail, we're going to give you free insurance. It's going to come out of your check, but you know what? We're going to give your family, your kids, and your wife, we're going to give them all them free insurance. You don't have to pay for them. All you got to do is just apply this form right here, take it out, fill out their name, social security number, their ages, their health form, and we'll get that in, and we'll start paying their benefits. How many of you are like, duh, I'm going to fill that form out. I'm going to apply. I want those benefits. How many are like, I don't want to fill that paperwork out. I'll just continue to pay what we got now out of my pocket, and that's easier than filling out those things. No, you want to take advantage of every benefit you have coming to you, don't you? Yes, I'll do that. It may be a stack of forms, but you know what? I'll do that because it's worth it. Because I want to receive all the benefits I have coming to me. See, the same thing happens in our life when we don't apply the benefits of God's word. We don't apply the benefits of God's promises in our life. We're leaving it out there on the table. It'd be the same thing of us leaving those benefits from our employer. It'd be the same thing as your employer saying, you know what, I'm going to give you all this money. All you got to do is fill out this form right here, and I'm going to stick it aside and account for you every month. Of course, you would fill it out because you want everything coming to you. You want every benefit you have coming to you. Spiritually, we got to be the same way in our passion. God, I want everything your word has to say for me. God, I want to apply every promise for my life. I want my marriage to rock, man. I want my marriage to be full of passion. I want my relationship with you to be full of passion. God, I want my worship time to be like this. God, I want to walk under this anointing. God, I want my health to be right here. God, I want my finances to be right here. God, I want to receive those blessings, those benefits in my life. I want to apply them in my life. I want to be passionate about it, God. And so I've got to learn to apply it. And when I don't, man, it drains you. I mean, can you imagine the mental drain of knowing that all you had to do was fill out some paperwork to receive the raise you needed, and you don't do it? You're walking every day at your work thinking, man, that's draining, isn't it? I know I need to do that, but I just don't feel like doing it. And so in your mind, you know, I'm working for 25% less than everybody else in this room because they've already done it. And that would drain on you, wouldn't you? That would just totally just drain you. That's what happens in your spiritual life when you know God's word. And when you don't apply it, you take the unapplied truth and you don't apply it to your life, it's draining on you. It will drain you. So to keep the passion, you got to apply it to your life. Isn't that a good principle? Take the passion, take the things that God teaches me. Take the things that our pastors share in our daily devotions and our weekly meetings together, the lessons I'm learning. Apply them to my life, and it increases passion. James 1:23 says it like this. Anyone who listens to the word of God and takes no action is like somebody who looks at himself in the mirror and then goes off and immediately forgets it. But anyone who puts into practice will be blessed in every undertaking. That's what he says. If you'll put into practice the things that we teach, if you'll take the truth of God's word that we're sharing to you, you take the knowledge that we're sharing of our own personal lives, the knowledge we're sharing on the Bible, and you take that and you apply it to your life, he says, then what happens? You receive blessing. He will be blessed in every undertaking. You ever met somebody who's blessed in every undertaking? I've met some of those people, and I guarantee you, they just bug me. Because I want to be like that. And I decided, you know what? I want to get the best I can have for God. I don't want to leave anything short. And so I decided in my own heart, God, I'm not going to live my life short of what your blessings have for me. I'm going to believe for the best in my marriage. I'm going to believe for the best in my finances. I'm going to believe for the best in my children. I'm going to believe for the best in my health. I'm going to believe for these things in my life. I believe and put them into practice. Let them come alive in your life. You grow by doing it, by practicing it, by putting it into action. James 4:17 says, anyone who knows the right thing to do and does not do it is what? Sinning. We just talked about Luke 8. Look what Jesus said. My mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and act on it. And act on it. My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. The last thing I want to talk to you about, the last faith and passion killer today is this. It's an unexpressed faith. An unexpressed faith. These things will kill you. Ephesians 4:15 says it like this. Let our lives lovingly express the truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. He says you were made to express truth. You and I, we were made to express the truth of God in our life. And when we don't, it kills the passion. But I guarantee you, when you learn to go back and you learn to give, to express God's passion in your life, you learn to give out and express your faith. When you learn to express your faith, you know what happens? It brings life to you. It brings joy to you. It brings a passion for who God is. It goes back to the illustration in the Jerusalem. We'll find out where they have the Sea of Galilee in the northern hemisphere, the northern part of the country and region. And of course, the southern region, we have what? They have the Dead Sea. And so in the south region, we have the Dead Sea. What's the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea? Well, the Sea of Galilee gives out. It only takes in, but it gives out to the River Jordan. And the River Jordan flows in to the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea doesn't give out anywhere. It just takes in. There's no outlet for it. And so in that, it collects all the pollution. It collects all the things that happens because life comes through giving out. A river and a lake and whatever, they stay clean because it gives out. It flushes out and it gives out. And it feeds to other streams. It feeds out to other lakes, other rivers. Things happen. This is how these things stay pure and clean. But you have a Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason because nothing lives there. Nothing can live there. You try to swim in the Dead Sea, you just float to the top. When you get out, you have this crust all over you, dead molecule, algae infected, whatever it is. You know, it's just nasty stuff, man. Nothing can grow there. Nothing can live there long term because it's dead because there's no giving out. And the same thing happens in our life. If we will not give out, we're going to die. When you don't give out, you're going to lose your passion. When you don't allow God to funnel out, we come in Sunday morning, God, feed me. God, give it to me, give it to me. Yeah. We bring our big bucket. Oh, that was good. Oh, that's good. You know, oh, wasn't that good? Oh, that was good. That was good. That was good. Walk out here so bloated and full. Crystal, no. I'm talking about spiritually now. We walk out so full. But you know what? When we don't give it out, we're going to lose our passion. When we don't express our faith, we're going to lose our passion. There's got to be a funnel for you to give it out because that keeps life. That keeps passion. You were created to share truth. Let your lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truth, dealing in truth, living truth. This is our passion. Because if we don't do this, we're going to get cheated. This is what happens. Number one, the world gets cheated. Because if we don't share our faith, then nobody hears about it. And so we lose the power of our testimony. We lose the power of sharing that with somebody else. And then you lose your passion because it's just what happens. If we don't share your faith, you lose your passion. Psalms 96:2 says, each day, tell someone that he saves. Each day, tell somebody that Jesus saves. Pastor, do I have to get a big sign and go stand around and go, hey. I take my Bible to work and thump people in the head and be like, yo, man. No, but you stay. My life can just illuminate. My life can just overflow. It says this, that God, Jesus says, people can look at me and know there's something different about me. People can look at me and know there's a passion that's different about my life. There's a peace that I have. There's a joy that I have. And it comes through the Holy Spirit. And I can say, the joy that I have is because of this. The peace that I have, it's all because of Jesus. He changed my life. I don't have to go around preaching it because people are going to want to know it. They're going to ask me, what's different about you? What's going on? This morning I had to stop at the store and grab something before I came to church. And as I walked into Walmart this morning, the lady was, I could tell she was, something was going on. And she just looked at me. She goes, can I ask you a question? I didn't know it was life mattered. She goes, could you just pray for me? Could you just pray for me? There's something going on in my life. She didn't even tell me what the problem was, but she wanted prayer about something. She goes, all I can get help is God's help. How does she know for me to pray for her? She hasn't been to our church. I never stopped and told her I was a pastor or even a Christian. There was something about the Spirit when you carry that in your life that people look at you and say, can you pray for me? There's something different about you. There's something different about things that are happening in your life. It will just come and it will express out of you. And this is what gives us passion. When we give it out, we got to give it out. How long has it been since you talked to somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you told somebody about what Jesus did to your life, what has done in your life, how he's changed you? When's the last time? 1 Peter says, you are God's instrument to do his work and to speak out for him and tell others the night and day difference he has made in your life. I can tell you this much. God has made a night and day difference in my life. For once I was blind, but now I can see. I had a life full of no passion. Now I've got a life full of passion for him. I had a life full of no purpose. Now I've got a purpose. I've got a vision. I know what God has for my life. 2 Timothy 2 says, I want you to tell these same things to other people who can be trusted to tell others. We're to pass it on, man. We are to pass it on. Last part of our vision statement. We're to pass it on. We're to teach others, to tell others about what God has done in our life. So how do we do this? In closing, let me give you this real fast. How many like to chat? Anyone like to chat? C-H-A-T? Chat? Let's use that abbreviation. This is how we do this. C stands for what? Check your progress weekly. Okay? Check your progress weekly. Give yourself a checkup weekly. Look at yourself this week and say, God, how's my passion level this week? God, how's my intimate level with you this week? God, how is my time with you this week? Check yourself regularly. H stands for hear the word. You got to hear the word of God. You got to read the word of God. You got to put it there. Put it there. Put it there. And A stands for act on it. And T stands for tell others. I got to learn to chat every week. I got to check my progress. I got to hear the word of God. I got to act on it. I need to tell others about Jesus, what God's done in my life. When I'm doing these things, life is coming from me. Passion is increasing in my life. Listen, don't allow circumstances to pull your passion from your life. Some of you here, you know what I'm talking about, because there's a time in your life and you had so much passion for what God was wanting to do in your life. Some of you here today, you had so much passion, so much vision in your life. Somewhere along the line, you allowed something to take that away from you, whether it be a bad relationship, whether it be a hurtful situation, maybe it happened in a church. Maybe you just allowed life to crowd God out. And you allowed different things to take different priorities in your life. But whatever the reason it may be, you've allowed that passion, you've allowed that loving feeling to go away. And I say to you today, don't allow that loving feeling to go away. You can restore it. God wants you to restore your passion, but you got to learn to stop doing the things that kill the passion in your life. You got to apply God's truth to your life. You got to apply his truth to your life. You got to apply the things. Say, God, I want to examine myself. Where am I today, God? I've got to act on his word. I got to let it out and tell other people. When I'm doing this, man, passion, I can't help it. Passion has increased. I can tell you this principle is something that will never fail you. That you can never, you ever heard a statement, you can never outgive God? That's true for anything in your life. You can never outgive God. If your time, your talent, your treasure, you can never outgive him. Whatever you give to him, I guarantee he's going to give back to you more so abundantly. And I can tell you, you just can't help but give out. When you give out, God, I want to give out what you've given me. I want to give out the love you've given me. You don't receive more love back. God, I want to give out the grace you've given me to others. People that have hurt me and I need to forgive. God, I want to take your grace and I want to give it out to them. I'm going to forgive them even though they are unforgivable. Even though they don't deserve it, I'm going to forgive them anyway. And when I do that, you know what I do in return? I receive more grace in my life. I receive more love in my life. I got to give it out. And as I do that, I'm becoming the most like Christ I can be. I'm giving out. I'm giving out. I'm forgiving. Giving God's love. Giving God's grace. And I'm returning. I'm returning. He's giving it back to me. I don't know about you. I need God's grace a lot in my life. I need God's grace a lot in my life. And I receive that because I want to give a lot of grace out in return. I want to give the grace out. Today, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Before we go any further, I just want to ask you this question. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, you're here, you're talking about a passion for God, but I can tell you this, before I have a passion for God, I just need to say this, I just need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to accept Him as my Lord and Savior today. I want to come alive with that passion, but first of all, I got to accept Him as my Lord and Savior. I've got to ask Him to be Lord of my life and forgive me my sins. I want to get into a right relationship with Him. Today, if you're here, say, I want to confess Him as my Lord and Savior. I want to believe that He died on the cross for my sins, and I want to live for Him. I want to make heaven my home. If that's you here today, no one's looking around but me. I will not embarrass you in any way, but I want you to raise your hand. If that's you today, say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ today. Before I leave here today, I want to get right with God. I need to get right with God. Anybody here today want to raise your hand? Say, that's me. I'm going to give you the opportunity. Raise it high. Second question I have for you today is this. You say, Pastor, I want God to renew my passion. I want God to renew my passion for Him. Somewhere along the line, I've allowed life to crowd out. I just realized I've lost my passion the way it needs to be. And I want God just to give me a fresh and new passion in my life for Him. If that's you, can you just raise your hand where you're asking, Pastor, that's me? Yeah, thank you. Hands up everywhere. That's me. I want God to give me a fresh and new passion for Him. Thanks for being honest. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning where you're at. I'm going to pray for you, especially those who raised their hands today. I said you want God to renew your passion. Can we just lift our hands up as a sign to surrender to Him? That's what the Word of God is very clear about it. That's lifting our hands when we come to the sanctuary. It's a sign to surrender. Lifting hands is it's a universal sign of surrender. It says, God, we give up, Lord. We give up. We realize that only you can do things in our life. So we raise our hands. It's a simple sign of surrender to God. And today, as we lift our hands up where we're at today, we're saying, God, we surrender our heart to you. God, we want to receive the passion you have for us. And God, I pray right now that God, for every person who raised their hand this morning, who said they wanted to renew their passion in you, God, I pray that, God, you would come alive in their hearts today. That God, there'll be a renewed energy, a renewed passion for loving you, for telling about your love in their life, and telling about your grace in their life. God, for learning who you are. God, that every day, that we would not depend upon Sunday, the Sunday to feed us, but God, every day we would learn to begin to feed ourselves. That every day we would learn to take a bite of your word and to hear your worship and let the passion fill our life, God. Allow who you are, your spirit, to come alive in my heart. That it's a daily walk with you that you desire with me. It's not a religion. It's not a Sunday thing. But it's a weekly thing, a daily thing. And God, I pray for every person here who's lifting their hands up, God. I pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit today. God, may you feel them fresh and anew. God, as I point my hands this way, I pray that your Holy Spirit right now, Father, begin to fill their hearts, begin to fill their lives, Lord. Fill them, God, with a passion, a renewed sense, God, of who you are, of your grace in their life, your grace in my life. God, fill us fresh and anew. God, may we never forget, Lord, the cost of Calvary. May we never forget, God, what you've done in our life. May we never forget the cost that you paid for us. May we never forget that, God, we were once lost and dying and going to hell. But God, miraculously, God, you sent your son Jesus to die for me, to give me life, to give me passion, that I have to live my life, that I have to carry around my family curse. I can destroy what my generation before me did, but I can walk in a new generation. I can walk in a new passion. I can walk in a new anointing. I can walk in a new sense of life for me and my family. And today, God, I pray that, God, you fill us fresh and anew with your passion. God, we want to learn to be passionate lovers of you, God. Passionately fall in love with you. And God, I pray today to God, there's something that is clicking on the inside of us, God. There's a desire to get to know you like we've never known you before. And God, I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Receive the word of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Remember, there's home groups going on tonight. Stop by the table out front. You can get a pamphlet telling you about the small groups, the home groups that are going on. Find a home group. Get involved. We say, God bless you today. Make sure you sign up for the marriage couple retreat also on the table out in the foyer.